Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 24 through 29. 24 through 29. Praise God, praise God. Let me prepare our screen, and I'll give us the title of our message. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Don't Be Ashamed of the Appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Saints, we're going to conclude chapter 2 of 1 John. And let me just say this. I got this topic, and this topic that we're going to expound tonight is very real, because there are some who are not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people in church that maybe are in sin and have not confessed their sin. And when Jesus finally appears, there's going to be a lot of people that will be ashamed of themselves. This is why we as the church must always be ready. Our hearts pure and clean by the blood of Jesus. We must confess our sins on a daily basis. We must have ourselves ready as a watchman on the wall for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your hands at home. How many of you can't wait till God cracks the skies and we're going to be with Him? There should be an anticipation. There should be a joyful watch that Jesus could come for us this weekend during the Feast of Trumpets. Listen, if He comes, come what may, I'm ready. How many of you are ready? We got to be ready. Prepare your hearts. Be like the bridegroom who's waiting, the bride who's waiting for the bridegroom to come. Saints, we're at the brink. We're at the brink of the Lord coming to take His church home. So I'm excited about this evening's study. And so, let's get to the Word of God. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24 through 29. Let's read. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, what? Eternal life. Praise God. Verse 26, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Praise God. Praise God. We will abide in Him, right? All right. Verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. This is where I got this evening's topic. If He's coming for us, don't be ashamed. Don't be caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Live a clean life. Live a pure life the best way you can. Confess your sins when you fall short. Ask God to give you a cleansing and a washing. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. I need you to catch that. I need you to catch that. And when we get to that verse, we're going to expound on that last verse. Oh, that's right. Let's just take a look at that again. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Praise God. You know what? That lets me know that the unbeliever, the sinner, the ungodly, the wicked cannot practice righteousness. Why? Because Christ is not abiding in them. Wow. But he's abiding in you. He's abiding in me. And if you're there with someone at your home, point to them and say, he's abiding in you. Praise God. Praise God. So let's break this down and let's look at verse 24 and 25. It says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. You catch how that works, saints? And this is the promise that he has promised us. What? Eternal life. Eternal life from him. Praise God. We could no longer live a life of debauchery because we have been given eternal life and he lives in us. You see, saints, many of these Christians had heard the gospel message from John himself. And they knew that Christ was God's Son, that he had died, what? For their sins. That he had been raised. Raised for what? To give them new life. And that he would return and establish his kingdom in its fullness. How many can't wait for that moment? Praise God. But their fellowship was being infiltrated. By who? By teachers who were denying these basic doctrines of Christian faith and truth. And some of the believers were in danger of succumbing to false arguments and false teachings. You see, my friends, John, the apostle, encouraged them to remain faithful to what they had what? They had been taught from the beginning, to hold on to the Christian truth that had changed their lives. Praise God. Now, if the believers resisted the lies of the Antichrist's sayings and teachings, they would continue to live in fellowship with the Son of God and with the Father, like you and I today are. Praise God. And so, by clinging to the truth about God, God the Father and Christ, his Son, believers, my friends, can be sure that they will never be separated from fellowship with God. Praise God. You see, my friends, that fellowship will literally continue forever and forever and forever. For Jesus promised that his followers, as you and I, would be given eternal life. And the Apostle John recorded many of these promises in his gospel. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Let's look at a few of them right here. Look at this. In John 3:14 through 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Now, I want you to catch that word. In the King James, it's believeth. That means it's an ongoing belief, meaning it's already sealed in our spirit to believe every day we wake up, and it's automatic. An unbeliever cannot believe this. They have to be reminded. They have to be told. But you and I who have been born again, it's ongoing. That's what separates us, saints of God, from the unbelieving world. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this next verse of scripture, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Let me just pause there for a moment. We are saved from the wrath of God. You see, we just didn't get saved so that God could cleanse us from our sins and live a godly life here on this earth. I get that. That's his purpose. That's his plan. But ultimately, he has saved us from the wrath to come. There's going to be a wrath that's going to be poured out by God on this planet. We believe through Scripture, it's the seven-year tribulation. And my friends, that's around the corner. Why? Because the drumbeats of war are around the world. There's wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in many places. Look what just took place in Libya, a flood that wiped out 10,000 people. No one's talking about that. And then in Nepal and other places, earthquakes that are killing 3,000-4,000 people in Syria. Saints, we're seeing in real time what Jesus said, what would happen in the last days. We're living in perilous times. And we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be looking up, for our redemption draws near. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus is coming for us? Look at this in John 6:40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. In what day? In that last day, saints. In that last day. The last day. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look at John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has what? Everlasting life. Once again, it's not a person say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in the man upstairs. Yeah, I believe Jesus, Son of God. But it's not birthed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, when they wake up in the morning, God is not in their thoughts. God is nowhere around them. But you and I, who have been born of the Spirit, that's our life now. Because we're in the vine. We're abiding in him. I need you to catch this. That's why he says, he that abides in me, I abide in him. So this is for the believer who has been truly born of God. That is not an unbeliever or someone that just said something at a prayer meeting or an altar call or an outreach, but yet there's no change in their life. Well, you and I, saints of God, have been changed from the inward to outwardly. And we're doing our best to live a saved life. Praise God. Look at this. John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Wow. Wow, saints. And feeding on Christ is receiving, eating the Word of God, believing, ongoing, night and day, day and night. We are his and we follow him because he says, my sheep hear my voice. And we hear his voice loud and clear. Look what else I found here. Look at this. In John 17:2-3. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And look at this. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have what? Sent. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the believers, they understood the character of the one who made these promises and could trust that he would fulfill them. Oh, that's right. How many believe that God's going to fulfill his truth to you? Come on. Some of you that are watching right now, shout it out. Send up the yes and amens, because God is going to fulfill all his plans for your life since the moment you were thought in his mind. You were a thought in his mind way before you were formed in your mother's womb. He already knew about our plan. He already knew about you. And despite of what age you came to him, for me, I came kicking and screaming like a knucklehead at the age of 30. He already saw that. He saw that already. And yet, he still chose me. He still chose you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now. Let's move on to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. You see, this is why the Apostle John reiterated so many times about believeth, abiding, about God's love, about believing in truth. You see, saints, as in all the scriptures we've been reading in 1 John, and we're going to get to 2 John, and even in the book of John, John took pains, great pains, to clarify his what? His purpose in writing and to affirm the practical impartation of these teachings. We are to partake and believe everything that's written in the book. You and I should be the people of the book. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Look what we read once before. We're going to just read it again. In 1 John 2, 12 through 14, look at this. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For whose sake? For his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known what? The Father. Look at this. In verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome who? The wicked one. The wicked one. Look at this verse of scripture right here. 1 John 2, 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. Look at that. You know it. And that no lie is in the truth. Praise God. Praise God. You see, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. That's what it says. But we know the truth. You see, saints, the false teachers were trying to lead people into error like they do so many times, away from the basic gospel that had been taught from the very beginning. You see, my friends, John the Apostle wrote as he did because the Christians needed to be aware of those who want to lead them astray, and to move away from the basic teachings into various sidelines that contradict those basic truths in the Bible is to be led astray into heresy. Praise God. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Look what I found in this verse of scripture in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly, what? Bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves, what? Swift destruction. Look at this, verse 2 and 3. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not what? Slumber. You see, my friends, these false teachers not only left the faith and the fellowship, but they wanted to lead others astray as well. Wow. Wow, my friends. And so it's no different than today. There are so many different doctrines, so many different churches. Oh, I got the truth over here. Oh, I got the truth over here. But my friends, some of them are teaching heresy. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, so that we can clearly discern and know in our spirit what's truth and what's a lie. Praise God. So, let's move on now to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And it reads, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, And just as it has taught you, you will want abide in him. See, it comes naturally to the born-again believer. It comes from heaven. It comes directly from God. You see, saints, the true believers had received the Holy Spirit and lived within them. This means that believers can place their total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and rely on him for guidance and strength and live as he directs. How many of you can honestly say at home that God has held your hand, not us holding his? He came to hold our hands, to lead us and to guide us. Praise God. You see, my friends, it implies a personal, life-giving relationship. The same idea is throughout the Word of God. You can find this even in the book of John, where Jesus' words about his being the vine and the followers in the branches. Look at this. Look at this, what I found right here in John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I need to pause right there. Listen, this is the test of a believer. If Jesus is truly abiding in us, we will have the desire for prayer meetings, coming to church, giving our tithes and offerings as a sign of worship, to believe everything that God has spoken, to lead others to Christ, to pray for family members, to desire people to get saved and baptized. Okay, that's a sign that we are in him and he is in us. So here it is. An unbeliever doesn't have those desires. Come on. You have family members and friends that say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus, yeah. But they have no desire for the things of God. That's the separation. That's the difference. Because we are in the vine and the vine is in us. That's Jesus. We are abiding in him. So catch that. I need you to catch that. That's what it's all about. We have that ongoing desire every time we wake up in the morning to praise the Lord, to give him thanks, to have private time with him, to love him, to adore him, to worship him. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. And I believe I got another verse of scripture. Yes. Look at this. And 1 Peter chapter 4, 14. Look at this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. And their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is what? Glorified. Glorified. Praise God. Look what the prophet Jeremiah wrote. No longer will each man teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and remember, look at this, their sins no more. That is the born-again believer. Praise God, praise God. Look what Matthew 13:11 says. He replied, the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who are them? The unbelievers. That's right. Friends, family members, acquaintances, co-workers that don't know Christ. They don't understand what we're talking about tonight. They don't have no desire to what we're talking about tonight. They won't watch us on YouTube and Facebook. They won't come to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they won't come to a Sunday morning service. You see, I need you to catch this. Not for one moment. Never think, oh, well, my son and daughter knows God and they're going to go to heaven. If they're on the other spectrum, like we've been teaching, no, they're not. Because God's not in them. And the proof of the pudding is the fruit. Not that we're judging them, no. But you can see the fruit emulating from a believer's life. And that's the distinction. That's the separation. God has allowed us to see this here on earth. Praise God. And now when he comes, he's going to do the separation, the goats to the left and the lambs and the sheep to the right. And those of us who have repented of our sins, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of everything, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we will be in that group with the sheep. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that? You ought to be thankful. Look what else I found here in John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him, what? Comes to me. There it is. We come to him. Why? Because we're born of him. Look at this. In John 14:16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And what does forever mean? Forever. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found in John 14:17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. There it is. Plain and simple. But you do know him. Point to yourself. Point to someone that's with you that knows God and say, but you do know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. Praise God, praise God. Look what else I found in 14:26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have what? Told you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, you and I, we don't need anyone to teach you. Means that Christians can tell the lying Antichrist. No, we do not need another teacher because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit teaches us. So we will continue in what he has taught us and continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this does not mean that Christians should turn away from the counsel of faithful ministers. No, it's not saying that. And attempt to make it on their own. No, we need each other. In fact, that often will lead them astray. Instead, it means, saints of God, that Christians can discern truth and reject falsehood. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, the better believers know the truth, the more easily they'll be able to identify a lie. Praise God. And the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches all things refers to the basic gospel truths essential for salvation. And this does not mean that all believers will know and understand everything. No. Nor does it mean that the Spirit will add new revelation to what has already been taught and written. Instead, through the Spirit of God, believers know just enough to keep them from throwing away their faith in Christ. Praise God. And believing the lies of the false teachers. Wow. Praise God. So, let's move on. Let's move on to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And it reads, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There it is, saints of God. That's where I got my topic, the title of this message. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of him. You see, saints, John was so anxious for the believers' spiritual lives that he said over and over that they should continue to live in fellowship with Christ. You and I should be looking for him. How many of you are looking for him? Or are you ashamed? Are you going to put your head like an ostrich in the sand while the world just passes you by? We need to be looking for him, the author and the finisher of our faith. The joy of knowing that we will be changed and we will be like him. The joy of knowing that we will not be in these corruptible bodies anymore. The joy of knowing that we're going to have immortality, meaning living for with him forever and ever. Titus said it best. Look at this. In Titus 2:11 through 14, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Look at this. Verse 13 and 14. Looking, say that with me at home. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who what? Who gave himself for who? For himself, for us. That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for him his own special people, zealous, zealous for good works. Praise God. And so, my friends, although believers already have fellowship with Christ through his indwelling spirit, a time is coming when they will see him face to face in all his glory. I mean, can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. Come on. And those who have continued in him will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame when he returns and takes us home. Praise God. You see, my friends, persevering in their relationship with Christ ensures that believers will remain in the true faith. Continuing in the faith keeps them truly ready for Christ's return. And I can't wait. I can't wait for his return. So, we got this one last scripture in this chapter, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Wow. Wow. You see, it's not our own righteousness. Because our own righteousness is but filthy rags. And so when Jesus hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was crucified, and he shed his blood for you and I. And he died and rose again. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to this earth. And when one repents and turns to him in faith, and then God washes you in the blood of the Lamb, and then he fills you with the Holy Spirit of promise, he imputes upon you. What does that mean? He imparts to you. He covers you. He engulfs you with his righteousness. So now when we stand before the Father, he doesn't see our unrighteousness, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. Come on, somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look what he's done for us. Something that we could never have done for us. But he did it all for us. Praise God. Praise God. You ought to be happy. You ought to be joyful. You ought to be thankful. You ought to rejoice forevermore. Praise God. You see, saints, believers know that God is always right. If a person's actions demonstrate his or her allegiance, then all who do what is right are his children because of him. You see, my friends, people do not become children of God by doing right. Instead, doing right is a sign that people have already become God's children because we love him. It's a love relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about if you do this, you better do that, and you better do it now. We obey God because we love him. How many of you at home love him? And so, my friends, because true faith always results in good deeds, those who claim to have faith and who consistently do right are the true believers because of him. Good deeds cannot produce salvation, but they are necessary proof that true faith is actually present. Praise God. Look what I found in Ephesians to confirm all this. For by grace you have been saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't boast about your holiness. You cannot boast to people, oh man, I don't watch TV no more. I don't do this. I don't watch internet. Okay, so You want to be a monk in a tower? Go ahead. But that's not going to give you any more points with God. You know why? Because He has declared you righteous through His Son by the blood of Jesus. You got to let that in. Oh, I know. You got to remember, let me just say this. There's the Arminian doctrine, and then there's the Calvinistic doctrine. I'm right in the middle. If you've been born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Both camps have different contradictions. The Arminians believe if you lust, you sin, you fall from grace, God sends you to hell. Calvinists, you could just say a prayer and God has saved you. And there's no repentance. There's no washing of the blood. And not even filled with the Holy Spirit. So, I take those two major doctrines and I point to the middle. And my position at Amazing Grace is, if you have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. And my position will not change. Oh yeah. Look what else I found here. In James 2:14. What is a prophet, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. You know what that means? Because you've been born again and you love God, the fruit of the Spirit will now be activated and it'll be at work. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. All the things that the Holy Spirit represents, the fruit of the Spirit, will be evident. So, before we pray, I'm going to ask this question. If a detective was looking for evidence of whether you were a Christian or not, what would be the evidence that would he find, or the lack of evidence that he would find? Number one, he would find the evidence in a true believer, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, their love for Christ, their worship for Christ, the teaching of the gospel, desiring people to be saved, watching them been baptized, been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking love and purity, no longer profanity out of their mouth, doing good works now for the cause of Christ, loving your brother, forgiving one another, and the list goes on. That would be the evidence if a detective was looking regarding a true born-again believer. There would be no evidence in an unbeliever. He would find no evidence to rightfully declare that this person knows God and is going to heaven and is a believer. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. I hope you comprehended this message tonight. It's for all of us to understand. But here's the good news. Those unbelievers, they still have time until Jesus comes. So you and I as believers ought to be on our face crying out for their soul. Because once Jesus comes, it's over. The show's over. Curtain call. We'll be taken out from this earth, the believers. And the ones that didn't receive Christ or refused and rejected, or didn't care, they will suffer the 7-year tribulation. And there will be chaos and a whole lot of bloodshed. Saints, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming very soon. And I hope you and I have prepared to meet the King. And you know how we have prepared? We've repented of our sins. God has cleansed us with His blood. We are filled now with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now we are heaven bound and a hell to shun. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something, saints of God? Huh? Isn't that something? So, here's your opportunity. If you just logged in, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, we could be gone this weekend. It's the Feast of Trumpets. And then we'll be out of here. And the whole world will mourn and grieve because we're gone. And then the Antichrist, the man of perdition, the man of sin, and the false prophet will disclose himself to the rest of the world. And 7 years of tribulation will be upon this earth. But those 7 years that we're not here, we'll be in heaven rejoicing with Jesus on the marriage supper of the Lamb, the coronation of the King, the opening of the books, the opening of the gates. Praise God. And He will hide us in His pavilion until the indignation has passed, meaning the tribulation will have passed. And then we will come back to earth with Him. And God will set up His millennial reign. And we will rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years on this earth in total peace and harmony. There'll be no more sinfulness and wickedness. Praise God. Everything will be cleaned up. No more ungodly movies and things of that nature. There will be no more mass shootings. There'll be no more abortions. There'll be no more killings and robberies and things of that nature. We will live in a place that you and I cannot comprehend right now, but it's promised in the Word of God. And so pray with me if you never received God, because all that could be yours as well. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone got saved. Down below is our banner. Log on. If you've given your heart for the very first time, we want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to pray with you and lead you to a church that'll teach the unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. And we are so excited. And listen, we are so mighty thankful for all those who have blessed our ministry with their monetary gifts, who have supported us. Well, here's your opportunity once again. Let's go here right now. Let's look at this. We're going to go there right now. Here we go. There. You see that QR code? That's how you can donate to us. Why? Because donations are deeply appreciated. And we are so blessed for all of you who have supported Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off and say thank you once again. Thank you for logging on with us. Thank you for allowing me to teach you the Word of God. And that is my desire, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I leave you this benediction so we can be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we say good night. We love you. And we can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.